This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne, who will be joining us shortly for your noon hour. Thanks for joining us, where we talk local issues, local news, and there's lots of it today. Some of these things just breaking today. We're going to talk a little bit right away in this first segment about the school bonds that are creating all the repairs in the school district here at Salem-Keizer. And how there's more money and how that works. So get out your mental math skills because we're going to get to that in just a minute. First of all, I think this is important news. So I want you all to realize there was a shooting, of course, as we know. It was a Dallas police officer over in the West Salem Goodwill. And as always, when that happens, when there's an officer involved shooting and it was a fatality, there's an investigation held by a third-party agency. In this case, it was the City of Salem Police that did the investigation. That officer has been cleared of any wrongdoing, and so they interviewed a lot of public safety officials and a half a dozen witnesses that were inside the Goodwill building or witnessed the event and have been cleared of any wrongdoing. So that's big news, and I want to thank him for his service. And you know, that's always a scary time, and it's an emotional time, honestly. Even if you have not done a wrongdoing, and if you did what had to be done, it's still a very emotional and a very trying time for an officer to go through that in their career. And most officers don't even have to. So to be in the situation is stressful enough. To have to draw your service weapon is a tough decision. And to take a life is emotionally taxing. And we are positive for first responders and our public safety professionals here. I want to thank that officer for his service and going through, and thank the Salem Police for doing a quick investigation, something that did not drag out for months and months while people's lives were in the limbo. All right, that being said, let's talk a little bit about the school district, because a lot of us have kids, and if we don't have kids, a lot of us are still paying property tax that supports the schools and, of course, our enormous $600 million bond measure. By the way, the property tax bills are coming. They'll be coming, so you get to see about how much that is increasing your property tax bill as they come this fall. So, but there's all these school construction projects. This is hard to explain a little bit, so we're going to go through this step by step. They basically added $34 million to the projects. And this means they are able to do more projects. Previously on Newsmakers, we were talking about the potential for the school district to run into high construction costs like the police facility has. Of course, police facility was approved earlier before so many construction materials had gone up in cost and before so many contractors and their expenses and their, you know, profit margins, everything else increased. So fear is that the school district would not be able to do all the projects that they envisioned, but we were told by the superintendent that those were kind of baked in. They kind of assumed, they didn't kind of, they assumed that there would be cost escalations and listed the projects and their costs accordingly. So that being said, they were still now, it's not just they won't be able to do them, but they're adding to them. They have another $34 million, as reported by the Salem Reporter. In their second year, and if you're not a subscriber, please do. $34 million and increasing in how much they're going to be spending on these construction projects. How can they do this? We approved $620 million of bonds. How could they have millions and tens of millions of dollars more? How does that work? Do we have to pay more in property tax? Well, you don't. You know, so here's how it works. And this ties into the hospital bonds that I was talking to earlier in the week. So there's a class of bonds, and a bond is just a debt. It's just a debt. It's an IOU, right? So I borrow money from Hunter here at KYKN. I give him an IOU, and I tell him at the end of the month I'll give him his $100 back, and I'll give him $5 in interest, right? That's a debt, and that's what a bond is. So school district sells a debt through you know, all the avenues, the financial avenues. So maybe even your financial advisor can sell them to you. And they pay an interest rate. Now, how attractive that bond is to investors will determine a price. So as you think, you're buying a bond, it's worth $1,000. It says right on the thing, I'll pay you $1,000. That's what the bond says. Just like me borrowing $100 from Hunter or Dave here at KYKN, they're borrowing $1,000 a time from investors. And they might be institutional investors on Wall Street, and it might be your Edward Jones professional that advertises on KYKN, right? So, and the bond will say, hey, we're going to pay X amount of dollars of interest, 5%, 3%, 2%, 18%, whatever it is. It says they're going to pay $1,000 back, and we're going to pay you this interest along the way, all right? So now you know what a bond is. If a muni bond is that, but it has tax advantages. It's issued by a municipality like the city of Salem. It could be issued by a state or a county, in this case, Salem Hospital or Salem Kaiser Schools. And the big distinction is your muni bond, you get the interest tax-free. So this is really attractive to people who are in high tax brackets. So you get a piece of paper and it says, hey, this school district owes you $1,000. We're going to pay you in these terms. You're going to pay this much interest. That is a commodity like an apple. And depending on how hungry you are and at what point you need the apple, it will determine how much you're willing to pay for it. So that $1,000, some people are going to pay $1,050. $1,000 plus $50 extra for that same thing. Think of it as over... putting in an offer for a house over asking price. Okay? So you're going to buy a piece of paper that says we owe you $1,000, but you're going to pay $1,000 plus an extra $50 for it. And that's paying, you know, your surcharge there. Or you're like, I don't like that interest rate. I could do better. I don't really like the interest rate. But I'll buy your $1,000 bond for $950. Right? So then you're buying it at a discount. And that adds to the amount of money that you're going to get out of this thing, right? You're going to get all the interest that's on the bond, and you're going to get $1,000 back. You only paid $950. You're buying at a discount. So what's happening with the school district is these bonds are seen as very attractive. They've got a good, and we've talked about this with the mayor, City of Salem. This is why your bond rating and your credit rating as a municipality or as an entity are important. So what's happening with investors here, folks, is they are attracted to the school bonds, and they're willing to pay extra for them. So for they'll issue that $620 million, but they're going to collect more than $620 million. That's where the extra money comes from. And now, the great news, this is all good news Friday, right? The good news is they're going to have a lot more money to do more projects and improve our schools even more than they promised us when we voted for it. I hope I made that clear. What do you think, Hunter?
I think it's clear. You know, let's cue up the applause if they're making it work that way.
Yeah, and there's, yeah, maybe it's upwards of maybe even an extra $65 million. That's incredible, right? And that's what happens, folks. If you have entities that are financially responsible and keep their debt levels low, they get great bond ratings, highly sought after by investors, and they got more money for their buck there. So good stuff and great stuff for our schools. It's really nice to potentially get more than what we thought we were going to get for our $620 million, even as we choke with our property tax bill as they come out in the next 30 days or so. All right, we're going to finish this up after the break and talk about Salem Hospital and its construction plans and how that qualifies, and then move on to some other local news before the end of the hour, the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to Mary Louise Van Atta about the happenings and the goings-on in the Salem-Kaiser area. So stick with us. It's Friday, and this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and it is Friday here at KYKN. We're talking about revenue bonds and muni bonds. And no, this is not a financial talk show, although it could be. One more thing on the topic before we move on to other news in Salem, including potentially for a new councilor appointment, is The school district we talked about, they're issuing these bonds. They are classified as municipal bonds. So it means that the interest that they pay are typically federal income tax free and sometimes state and local tax free. So they are advantageous to people to hold if it's not going into a sheltered place like in your retirement account or things like that. The higher your tax bracket, folks, the more attractive a muni bond is, because let's say your bond makes, I'll do a little math, Brent, do the math here on Newsmakers. It pays 5%, but it's tax-free and you're in a high tax bracket. You'd have to make 7.5% maybe somewhere else if you're in a high tax, just, you know, 7% or something, to make the same amount the muni bond's going to pay, because it's going to pay all this interest and you don't have to pay taxes on it. And it seems, of course, this is set up as a community benefit to make municipal indebtedness more attractive. So it's not just the city, folks. So a school district can do it, a state can do it, and Salem Hospital is doing it. So Salem Hospital, whom we've learned is building a new tower just immediately east of the new tower, right where there's a surface lot right now, to expand the capacity, they will do that construction by borrowing money through debt issuance. It was on the city council agenda just a couple of weeks ago, and we didn't get to it with our interview with the mayor, but it's perfunctory for them. It's pretty common occurrence, but for most people, they don't understand. Salem Hospital has to get permission from the city of Salem basically to use their status to get an approval to issue these bonds and have them be tax-free. It's a good tool. It's a good mechanism. So if you're interested, I guess you have to call a financial advisor of some sort or a brokerage of some sort, and because they'll just be on the markets of bonds that investors can buy. If you want to own a little bit of indebtedness from Salem Health, you can do it. You can be a part of seeing that construction go up. So muni bonds, that's your lesson for today, this Friday. Hope it wasn't too heavy. All right. Good stuff, though. Good news. I did want to clarify something I said before the break. There's actually about $65 million of windfall coming from the favorable sales of these bonds for the Salem-Keizer schools. Of that $65 million, they're going to put about half in reserve. So that's what the other number, the $34 million or so, that's quoted in the Salem Reporter, that's going to be spent on additional projects, and another $30 million or so is going to be put into reserve, and that way they can account for cost escalations and surprises and have a little bit more buffer, because they're going to be utilizing this $620 million for several years to come. I think the superintendent, when she was on the show, was talking about maybe a five-year window to get these projects done.
Yeah, I know they're working on a couple of high schools and a handful of middle schools and a few elementary schools at a time, and they're kind of rotating through the system over the course of a couple of years.
Yeah, but good news for the conditions, and hopefully for, we all hope that it also lowers the cost of doing operations and maintenance in these buildings, right? That's also coming out of our pockets as taxpayers. So if they're doing roofs and they're doing HVAC systems and they're replacing windows, that's all great stuff that lowers their cost of operation moving forward. So hopefully they get a lot of good value out of our taxpayer money, and good news coming out of the sale of the bonds. All right, switching subjects entirely, let's talk about the vacancy now that it's into October, and Ward 7 has a vacancy. And we've been talking about this on Newsmakers and who's going to step up and who will the mayor and the rest of the council select to sit in that seat and represent those citizens in the interim until a new person can be elected. Warren Benares raised his hand. It's a news article in the Statesman Journal today, and I do want to talk about Warren. So Warren sat in this seat. He was the city councilor for Ward 7. He ran for re-election. I supported him personally. And he lost to Sally Cook, who just recently resigned. He said, I'll go ahead and sit there. He's a hit the ground running type because he's already been a counselor for 4 years and so forth. Warren is a local character. He and his family have been around a long time. Full disclosure, I obviously personally know Warren and his wife and his kids. But the thing is, the Benares have been in Salem and have invested in Salem for generations. And Warren, one of the things that I was completely disgruntled with during the election is he somehow got painted as a special interest. Warren has spent decades in all sorts of roles. He doesn't even live in West Salem, and he served the West Salem Redevelopment Board, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Warren. Downtown Association. The list is long. I'm not going to give you his resume. I'm just going to tell you that this guy has served his community, and he's not a partisan. He's just a servant. And I love this quote in the Statesman Journal, if you want to figure out, well, what the heck? Why is he willing to sit there? His quote is, and he doesn't plan on running, and this is key. He's not going to apply to run to be elected in May. And that might be attractive to some of the counselors because they're not putting somebody into position to be the incumbent, which is always a concern. He said that some of his priorities are homeless, helping people who are homeless, but also helping deal with the impact that the homeless have on a community's livability. Here's the quote I really liked. He's like, he's looking, observing from a 30,000 foot view, he likes policymaking. And that is near and dear to my heart because I don't know if you can tell, folks, but I really like public policy. I really find it fascinating and oh, so important. I don't like politics. I don't like horse trading and politics and the rigmarole and how many electoral votes and all that stuff. He described himself, quote, in the Statesman Journal as a pragmatic, strategic thinker, a good listener, and a good leader. He likes policymaking. Warren says, I like policymaking. I don't really care for politicking. That's a man after my own heart. That's Warren Bonars. I like policymaking. I don't really care for politicking. All right, so that's why I was saying just a few minutes ago, I really don't like what happened to him. I don't like that he was targeted to be replaced and painted to be something that he's not, that he is a tool of a special interest or a power block or a partisan or anything else like that. And I feel that Sally Cook and the cohorts, the no bridge cohorts, the no growth, no nothing cohorts, painted as us versus them against a very fine citizen, a very fine leader, a very fine decision maker and policy maker. That's the problem we have in the city council now. So good luck to Warren. And honestly, council, do the right thing. Put in somebody who's going to be there for a matter of months, not a matter of 4 years. Who's not looking to get famous, who's not looking to get elected as a stepping stone to political glory. He's just a servant. I don't think that his vote is going to change anything having to do with the transportation plan and the bridge and so forth. So if he's not aligned with them on one thing or the other, hopefully they will pick somebody who is an obvious great choice to sit there and not have to be brought up to speed. Having gone through the process, folks, I'll tell you, getting to know the different departments and what they can and can't do and what they oversee. More importantly, the city council policies, the city council authorities, what they can and cannot do, what you can and cannot say, who you can and cannot listen to, the process of all of these things. You put somebody in there who's never been there, you're going to look at several months at least of getting up to speed. It's not representing the citizens of Ward 7 very well. All right, so that being said, folks, I'm sure there's a lot of great people in Ward 7, so you want to throw your hand up? Throw your hand up. It's just important to me that we, Ward 7, be represented by a pragmatic, good listener, person that's interested in bettering Salem. If you haven't heard us talk about it before, folks, this is the southeast part of town. This is Illahi. This is Croyson Mountain. It's Candelaria. It's Salem Heights, and it's Sunny Slope. That whole section of the southeast part of town without crossing the river is Ward 7, and of course, whoever represents them has to be two things. They have to be a resident of Ward 7, and they have to be a registered voter. So, this is one of the things that calls into question about whether or not he is going to be embraced by the majority of the council members who do tend to think of themselves as a faction and vote as a block more often than they're willing to admit. But he was he went to a city council meeting recently in opposition to the proposed operating fee, which the councilors are moving forward, as we know, to fix the budget hole. Councilor Cook supported the fee. Councilor Bonars did not. It's going to be tacked onto our utility bills, and you've heard a lot about it if you've been listening to Newsmakers. So that might be something where he's at odds with a voting majority of the people on the council. However, again, hopefully, they'll just think practically. We're going to have somebody elected in May. A question yet to be answered is, will the person be elected in May? will they take office right after that election, which would require, let's say, Warren Benares is the person sitting there in the seat. Will he resign in May so the elected person could take over? Or will he fulfill the rest of the term, which would be to the end of the year 2020, and then the person elected in May, subsequently in November, would take the oath of office in January 2021. So that's a question. I think that is all going to be playing out. And frankly, it's less of a bigger concern in the big picture of things. So Warren Benares, good man. I'll stand behind him again. I walked door to door for him. And if you've never done that for a candidate that you believe in, come this spring, we're going to ask you to. We're going to challenge you to. You're going to spend some Saturday mornings, hopefully, walking door to door and explaining to people that representatives at our city council, if they don't think that they should be and are required to build transportation infrastructure for the next generation, and if they can't answer for the gridlock that is today without them having a plan to alleviate it, they need to be replaced. And all you do is walk door to door and hand out campaign material, and that's how people get elected. That's how we got these people elected, despite the fact that their position on the bridge is only held by a small minority, like 20%. And yet they had six people elected that have a minority view of how Salem should be built out. Wow, right? And how did that happen? People volunteered, walked door for door, and apparently people did not walk enough houses for Warren. All right, that's it for the city council gap. That's it for right now. We're going to come back after a break. We're going to talk to Mary Louise Van Attic. And she's a Van Atta Public Relations, and she's got our October events. So stay tuned so we can tell you what you're going to be doing. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Now that you've had a couple of segments of Brent letting you know the latest news.
The who, what, why, where, when.
We have Dave Bourne back in the studio and joining us, Mary Louise Van Atta, Van Atta Public Relations, telling us what's what in the Mid-Valley here to do in October. Because even though it's not summer, it can still be fun, right?
Oh, October's the best in Salem. There is so much going on. And if you're lucky, the weather will still be just nice enough that you can do some fun things outside, like go to pumpkin patches.
Oh, yeah.
Which everybody loves. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
A minute.
Yeah. So does anybody like scary stuff?
Sure.
On the silver screen.
Yeah.
Not in real life. You don't want to walk along someplace like the Nightmare Factory.
No.
And so a lot of Salem was involved in the Oregon School for the Deaf remodel.
Yes, I remember.
The ABC Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Mm-hmm. I was the PR firm for that, which was super fun. And they redid the Nightmare Factory, which is one of the fundraisers for the Oregon School for the Deaf. And that is open.
Huh?
Tonight's the night.
What?
You can
already?
Go 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. And I understand it's not going to be scary at all this year. So
yeah,
why don't you guys go and find out?
Well, they still have the guy there with the chainsaw. That's
a given, Brent. Come on.
He lives there 24/7
every
day of the year. So
he lives in the cellar.
Yeah. So that's every weekend, Friday and Saturday, until November 3rd. Fridays start at 7 and Saturdays at 5 to 11 p.m. So you can just spend hours and hours there.
Oh, fun.
I think they do make a fair bit of money, especially the teens that go through and through and through. Because like, they can go this weekend, they can go next weekend, they can leave, right?
Oh, yeah.
You
they
can consider
their
it
friends.
Your charity work.
That's right.
Because the money goes to a great cause.
That's true.
So, and that's located on Locust Street, just right out
I've
in your
actually
neighborhood.
Been there a couple of times.
It's amazing when the lights are on. Scarier than anything when the lights
are
on.
Yeah, we went through when the... No lights. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just not fair, especially when things are loud and jumping out at you, because the people who are deaf, they have an advantage in not being scared.
Well,
right?
And they're the ones that are scaring you.
Is that, oh, yeah, see, that's not.
Yep.
Yeah, and they enjoy it. The look on their faces when they scare you, yes, they enjoy it.
Nightmare Factory, all right, at the School of Deaf. Fun. Great thing.
So tomorrow, if you're around and you are looking for some things to do with your family, the Capitol Building is having their celebration of agriculture, and that's 10 to 2 at the Capitol Building. It's free. There's children activities. They're going to set up a little pumpkin patch there, face painting, antique tractors. Really nice experience. So stop by the Capitol Building, and you can go on Facebook and just look for Oregon Bounty. And those are in the Capitol Building. You know, I'm just going to continually every month say, if you haven't been to the Capitol Building for a while, you must go. It is absolutely extraordinary what they've been doing over there.
And if you haven't been to the Capitol Building to talk to your state representative about all the things that went wrong this spring, you could do that too while you're there.
Yeah, right? You could do that.
Well,
yeah.
Your state representatives are just, you know, everywhere you go. There they are, and happy to talk to you.
We should broadcast live from there someday.
It would be awesome. 10 to 2, and that's tomorrow, right at the Capitol. So I want to, two very important things here is you can take your kids, and it's free.
Yeah.
Right?
How awesome is that? Yeah. Okay. Especially if it's rainy. If it's rainy, don't stay in the house. Go to the Capitol Building. Yeah. Right? You can do a pumpkin patch a different day, right? Anyway, which is more scary, though, Mary Louise? Is it
taking your children out in the rain? Or
is it going to the Capitol Building and watching the politics, or going through the Nightmare Factory at the School of Deaf?
Oh.
Which is frightening?
That's a toss-up right there.
You know, I love me some Capitol Building and politics, so, you know, I dare not comment.
To each their own.
Okay, so how many times have you seen Rocky Horror Picture Show between now and your entire lifetime?
I've actually only seen part of it.
Oh, my goodness. People.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
I have lots of friends who have dressed up and gone to the show every weekend.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people who have seen it.
Several weekends.
And they know all the routines. Well, you have an opportunity to see that from, I got some background music.
I know the song.
Through Enlightened Theatrics is doing this October 11th through November 3rd. And we all know the story about Brad and Janet, whose car breaks down, and then they have to go to a scary house.
No, I didn't know that.
Brad and Janet.
I didn't know the story.
Oh, okay. Yep, that's what happens.
Dr. Frank and Furter.
Frank and Furter.
See, and like I said, I only saw part of it.
He's a scientist, and they have, and Meatloaf is in it, which always great. Yeah, he's
that was him. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. So it's going to be, and then on the 9th and 10th of October, you can stay and talk back to the crew of Enlightened Theatrics.
Okay.
But you also, if you missed that, on October 26th, which is the Saturday before Halloween at 8:30 p.m., the Elsinore is going to have a live interactive show, which I understand is great fun. So if you just like to watch the movie and watch the interactive folks up on the stage and participate.
This is one of those things, folks. If we want live theater in Salem, we got to go support them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
October 11th, that's coming up in a week. Through November 3rd, we can see Rocky Horror Picture Show live. Oh, what the heck? When was the last time you did something like that? Go to downtown Salem, Enlightened Theatrics, and do that. That'd be awesome.
Super fun. I went to the Queen show this week.
Did you?
How was
that? I saw it was coming. I thought, I got to go to that. And then I saw that it was done. I missed it.
Packed. Wow. Packed.
I'll bet.
Cheering and screaming. Yeah, just it makes me appreciate how beautiful that Elsinore Theater is and how many choices we have. Especially every Wednesday you can do some activity in the Elsinore. So, okay, pumpkin patches, people. You're never too old for harvest festivals.
Sure.
There are so many great ones. And I know I heard this morning that Plumley Farms, which is located behind Oak Knoll, has their very first event. So that starts September 26th. Petting Zoo, Pumpkin Patch. And we're putting all these on the back end of your website under events. So if you go to kycan.com, you'll see some great harvest festivals. Bauman Farms is a classic. Easy Orchards, great community players. The Zielinski family in town has a wonderful one. I never get enough pumpkin donuts and cider donuts.
Those are evil.
Those
are things that we need to stamp out in society. And John Zielinski, I'm talking to you. those pumpkin donuts. And of course, especially right after they do the app, they've got apple flavored sauce donuts.
Yeah.
And you go in there and you can't not eat them.
Right.
It's practically inhuman to not eat them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the excuse you use is you go to their farmer's market and say, I'm going to go buy some vegetables. And while you're there, you can stop off at the pumpkin patch and go down the slides in the hay maze and see the animals. So that's
if you haven't been to Easy, we're talking about Easy Orchards just east of town. So if you haven't gone, then that's worth the trip. And Bauman Farms, I've been up there too. And that's a large operation. Yep. And they do a great job with a lot of different locally grown foods.
And even if you don't have kids, I really think that it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
You should definitely go anyway.
Another good one is Fordyce Farms.
Oh, yeah.
Fordyce.
Yeah, they have a haunted corn maze.
Oh, good.
And lots of good food.
We love to be scared.
Ray, he's pretty good.
One thing about Easy Orchards is it costs $3, mm-hmm. right? But you get a $3 credit towards a pumpkin.
Oh.
Right? So you get to go into the hay maze or the and the corn and all that stuff, and you get to do that. So anyway.
Yeah, a little more on the weekends, but it's all fantastic. Okay, I know my time. I could just talk forever about all this stuff. I'm just going to throw out there on the 12th of October, the Elsinore again has a really great show, an acrobatic show, which is theater, and it's about a time traveler. And if you like all that kind of stuff, definitely check that out on the ElsinoreTheater.com website. And that's theater with an R-E. I'm going to go to the Bootleggers Ball.
What?
Which is going to be at the Willamette Heritage Center on the 18th of October. They're having a fundraiser for Willamette Heritage, and it's going to be a Prohibition-style event. So I'm going to take out my flapper dress.
Awesome.
I will be there.
Will there be moonshine?
Yeah, that's what they say. But
Pretty much a given.
But yeah. Don't tell the officers.
Right.
So
do I need my pinstripe suit?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So that's going to be on the 18th at 5:30. Tickets for that are $60, and you can get that at Willamette Heritage. Another place I'm going to be, and I talked about this last month, Salem Firefighter Breakfast.
Yes.
That's October 17th at West Salem Roths. SalemFireFoundation.org. There's about 50 seats left. And that's a free breakfast. We're going to talk about raising money for auto pulse units, which provide continuous CPR for people and will save their lives. And I have heard some amazing statistics about how the fire department has helped bring a large number of people back, who wouldn't be here.
Wow. I'll be there. I'm going to that.
Oh, wonderful. We will look forward to seeing you.
I expect a full report.
And just the last couple things for November, because November is going to sneak up right before you know it, is the Emergency Preparedness Community Training is coming up. SAFE is putting that on. That's Tuesday, November 5th, 9 to 10:30. That's going to be at Willamette Heritage Center. Also, you can find that by going to the SAFE website or just Googling Emergency Preparedness Training. That's something we absolutely must all do. That's on my list. And, if you're dealing with people who are struggling with the challenges of aging, and I know you two gentlemen aren't doing that.
Because I don't get any older.
Every
we're
day.
all young. But, that's an issue that all of us are dealing with. And so Willamette Valley Hospice and Center 50 Plus are putting on a program, Untangling the Challenge of Aging. And
we had Melissa on the show talking about this event.
Oh, did she? Good. Because that is going to be something that's really important. That's going to be the 9th at 8 a.m. It's free. They're out at Center 50 Plus on Portland Road, and Dr. Margaret Manoogian, a gerontologist from Western Oregon, and Dr. Nancy Boutin, who's with Willamette Valley Hospice, will be there to help us out. So along with all those things, we have a lot of stuff to do in October, and that didn't even touch the surface.
Indeed. And that challenges of aging, I know they're going to be, a lot of us are dealing with aging parents.
Yes.
And people even older than Dave and I. So, that's an important one to go. And while I'm at Valley Hospice, and everyone's faced with these things, at some point. So
she's going
to
be on the show on the 14th.
On the 14th, we'll be able to plug that before it happens.
And I don't want to forget, because I almost did the Bowser's Boo Bash. If you love your animals, it's going to be on the 26th of October, and it's going to be at the Convention Center, Monsters in Masquerade, presented by our very own Capital Subaru, who decorated this lovely studio.
Yeah.
Capital Audio Group Studio.
So the Capital Audio Group Studio. That's right. Dave's been asking for a remodel.
This
mauve countertop that we have in the studio.
We can get you a pop-up kitten adoption.
I think a blue would look really good in here.
It's funny these things intersect because the Boo Bash, Willamette Humane Society, right?
Yes.
And recently there was the Willamette Strut that was just 2 weeks ago?
Yep, I was there.
And we went to that. And that was really fun and benefits, specifically helping people who are terminal and potentially on hospice to have their animals with them and have them cared for. Mm-hmm. And that is a really cool thing. So while I'm at Humane Society, Bowser's Boo Bash. That sounds really fun. Firefighters Breakfast, Bootleggers. Okay, Bootleggers, October 18th. Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. Willamette Heritage is putting it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a fundraiser for that Willamette,
right.
The History Foundation and all that. That's good stuff. 100-year anniversary of the passing of the 18th Amendment.
Wow.
Wow, it's been 100 years already? Mm-hmm. Man.
Seems like yesterday.
I feel as though I feel as though I'm behind schedule in my drinking. I'm going to have to step it up. Mary Louise Van Etta, we want to thank you for being on the show again. Thank you for doing all the research, and thanks for, you know, sacrificing your time to go to all these fun things on our behalf.
I do suffer.
Yes.
Yeah, we can see that.
Gentlemen, thank you. See you next month.
Yes. Thanks to Mary Louise Van Etta. This is Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Stick with us. We're going to be right back.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape. And someone who's in the studio... I work with him for the last year or so. I've never been on the air with him. Jeff Morgan.
Jeff Morgan, KYKN, is here, joins us.
I've never been on the air with you together at the same time.
We're going to finish up our Friday talking about Jeff and talking about some college football. It's important to a couple people around here.
You don't need to talk about me.
No? Not Jeff Morgan.
I'm trying to keep a low profile.
Yeah, okay.
Jeff, of course, tell us, you know, first of all, about the Duck pregame show you do.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we go down to Autzen Stadium. We'll be down there. Shoot, kickoff starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow. We're playing the Cal Bears.
Go Bears.
Well,
yeah, that's hard.
Whatever.
It's hard to say in this work environment. I'm feeling a hostile work environment. I'm going to have to talk
about it. No, the Bears, I mean, they had a great start. And now, you know, they lost Garbers, their quarterback, and so it's going to be interesting. But back to the Tailgater Show, we're going to be down there, 5 o'clock kickoff. But we are down there doing the show 3 hours before game time, leading into Jerry Allen coming on right after us. And so it's a lot of fun. We come down there. We've got a lot of sponsors to come on down and join us. And you're more than welcome if you're going to the game. Are you going, Brent?
I don't have immediate plans to go to the game.
No. You don't have any plans?
No. Do you have a ticket for me?
Negative.
Okay. Because I have some blue and gold to wear. So
I thought you knew people. I mean, come on.
So you've been doing this how long?
Gosh. I think since about 2005.
Wow. And there's a lot of prep that was involved. You do have to be an avid Duck fan and know everything.
No, you don't necessarily have to be. But
yeah, but you do the overtime work.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, you'd want to be. If you're going to do this, you definitely want to be a Duck fan.
Yeah, that's helpful.
But it's, you know, you don't have to be.
We're talking to Jeff Morgan of KYKN here about the Ducks and the Duck game that's coming up this weekend. And, of course, that'll be broadcast on KYKN with the pregame show with Jeff Morgan. And, so how do you think this weekend's going to play out for the Ducks?
I think they're going to do really well, Brent.
Yeah, I fear to say that you probably will. That defense has got me scared. Folks, if you're new to Newsmakers, yes, I am a Golden Bear. And takes a little bit of masochism to root for them as long as I have. You have to, if you're going to stick with it and stick with it, then you know when they win 4 in a row and they reach the top 20, right, you know the other shoe is going to fall.
Right. Well, they actually got to number 15.
Yeah, 15, 16, yeah.
Last and then week until they lost to Arizona State.
Lost to Arizona State and fell completely off. I mean, how many – most people don't go to 4-1 and lose 10 well, slots in the rankings.
You know, that's surprising, too, because they did beat Washington at Washington, which that game was kind of an anomaly because there was a huge lightning storm that came through. There was a delay of 2.5 hours. I don't think the game ended until, like, 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Husky fans were gone, so
– 1:30. I was watching, yeah.
Oh, it was 1:30.
1:30 in the morning.
Okay,
yep.
1:32.
And they beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss. On the road, they got up at 4:30 in the morning their time, or their body time, to play football there at 11 a.m. in Mississippi time. And they still beat Ole Miss on the road. So it was good.
They're a good ball club.
Yeah.
They just, you know, the backup quarterback had to come in because, again, Garbers got hurt last weekend against Arizona State at home. So your backup guy, you know, he hasn't taken any snaps. And so, I mean... what do you expect, really?
Well, he only has one. Modster is his name, and he transferred from UCLA. Modster. He only has one fatal flaw that we've seen so far this season, is that he can't throw the ball.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Other than that, might be a perfectly fine guy,
so
but as a quarterback, he either throws it to the wrong color uniform or throws it where there aren't people. So
that's panic. That's a quarterback that panics.
And then when you look at the Ducks defense, because that's been highly touted,
really
right?
Good.
Highly touted. The Ducks defense has just been crushing it. And there's some criticism about the Ducks' offense not playing up to their potential statistically, and they're not utilizing the quarterback as much as they potentially could.
Well, I think there's a method to that madness. I think they don't want their quarterback to get hurt. And so I think that they're just playing the way they need to play in order to win the game. I mean, they scored 21 against Stanford, but they only allowed 6 points. That's huge, especially on the road.
So, against Stanford, no less.
Yeah. Well, Stanford's down a little bit. But, you know.
It's still Stanford.
It is. And still, it's a road game. It's in the Pac-12. You're traveling 1,000 miles. Not 1,000. I guess it's like 700. But still, you know, that's one thing that the other conferences don't have to deal with. I mean, nobody travels like the clubs in the Pac-12. I mean, you're going the LA schools, they're going all the way up to Wazoo. I mean, how far is that?
Well, in the
1,500 miles. Yeah, who goes 1,500 miles
to play a
game? And
then
you're going out to Colorado? I mean, gee whiz. It's the most spread out conference.
Well, there's, what is it, USA Conference. They're all across the nation. And you've got SEC. It's a big distance between LSU and Florida, or now actually Texas, A&M, right?
Texas
A&M is part of the Missouri is part of the SEC now, right?
That's true.
That is a lot of distance between Florida and Missouri.
That is true.
So,
but
anyway.
I don't think as much.
All right. So you've got the quarterback edge. The Ducks do.
They do.
They'll be down there tomorrow. It's a 5 o'clock game. And you think they're just going to trounce the Golden Bears?
I didn't say trounce.
You
the spread
it.
Is 18 points.
This is radio, so nobody understood your facial. You saw it, didn't you, Dan?
No.
You didn't see his face go, yeah, you guys are going to get crushed.
Yeah.
I pity that fool.
That's not the look I saw.
I don't think you're going to get crushed. Again, because it comes back, they're not going to try and destroy really anyone. They destroyed Nevada this year, 77-6.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That was a great game. But I just don't think you're going to see it. I really don't think Herbert's going to run because he doesn't have to. I mean, you've got Travis Dye.
Yeah, there's making a statement, and then there's playing smartly, you know.
I agree with you, Dave.
Yeah. So there's a couple of running backs at Cal, and they need to be tackled. That'll be a challenge for the defense, and the defense seems like they're up for it. So there's two. One of them ran for 195 yards in the first week of the season. Brown hasn't been used as a starting tailback. He's more of a fullback feel and size. I wouldn't want to tackle him myself, right?
Well, you know, Troy Dye is a four-year starter and one of our linebackers, and he's a stud.
You think he's up for the challenge?
I think he's probably faced somebody a little bit tougher than the Cal running back.
Maybe. Well, that's some fighting. We'll have to see about that.
It's amazing the turnaround the defense has done for the Ducks. I mean, from one game to the next game is like totally different.
Well,
it's amazing.
They're flying to the football. I mean, it's Andy Avalos. He's the new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's amazing.
From Boise State. The guy's he's unbelievable. I mean, Boise State's always had a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Ducks, this is the best defense they've had in I don't even know how long. By the way, Justin Wilcox, you know, he was a linebacker for the Ducks.
Yes.
And
he came from the Ducks.
He
absolutely
did.
We like Justin Wilcox. This is the track. And folks, if you don't follow, hopefully you follow the Ducks and the Pac-12 football a little bit. If the Bears are good enough to get on the national stage, that's when their coach gets hired from somebody else who will pay twice as much.
Sure.
That's the history of the California Golden Bears, you know. And also, if the Bears are really good, say they can go 4-0 like they did this year, or maybe they're, you know, 4-1 and they're doing really well the first half of the season, historically, they can't do well in the second half of the season. So there's two ways to watch college football. You either watch them fail in the second half of the game, where they're way ahead in the first half or playing strong football, and then they can't play the second half. Or they can play really strong in the first half of the season, and they can't play the second half of the season. So even though the Bears have two great road victories, and they're 4-1, I'm just hoping and praying they get to 6 wins. How sad is that?
Wow.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible that the Beavers are a little bit down.
They almost beat Stanford last week at home. That was
What time's your show on Saturday?
2 o'clock.
All right, we got to go, but that'll be really fun. Tune in to TNYKN this weekend. If you're not going to the game, actually pregame, bring your radio, listen to Jeff Morgan and the pregame show, and we'll listen to the Ducks on KYKN. This has been a fun way to finish our Friday. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers.
See you Monday.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.